B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports and gaming from Sarah over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk. Plus, we'll take a look ahead to the next month in gaming. Those discussions are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today playing a little bit of catch-up from our three-day weekend. Joining me to help share in the weekend exploits is the Checkpoint XP crew. Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
We just need money.
And fresh homeowner Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
And also joining us is Sarah Skopic, also fresh homeowner. Congratulations, guys, on moving in. That must have been a big undertaking.
Boy, I mean, I wouldn't say moved in since we don't have any furniture in there yet.
You started the process.
It was, yeah, the weekend of cleaning and moving stuff and painting.
It's almost egg time.
That's really just as exhausting.
Really looking forward to the housewarming party. I've already started to look into some gifts for you guys, and I'm even starting to creep myself out a little bit.
I'm already ready to prank y'all.
Oh, don't make me cry.
Norris, I don't want to call the police on you. I've seen on the news how that can go. Please don't make me.
Congratulations, though, on the new house.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Damn.
You ain't have to say.
You gotta start it on a weird note.
Why? Sorry.
Like, especially after the 3-day weekend, that seems really inappropriate.
I mean,
do you know what yesterday was?
Monday.
That's too real, Joe. Too real.
Okay.
It's not funny when it's real. Anyway, Robbie, what were you doing this weekend?
I didn't do a whole lot myself either. I mean, obviously, Punisher came out, watched quite a bit of that. You can actually check out either on our Twitch channel at Checkpoint or twitch.tv/CheckpointXP or over at our YouTube if you want to see what me and Joe thought about that.
Actually going to be the other identity, yes, of the back catalog of the 5 or 6 episodes that you guys have done is going to be available as a podcast as soon as we can
figure out
the music.
Very soon.
Yeah,
well, at least we have the legal hurdle is clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, preparing for D&D, second session went off without a hitch yesterday. Actually added 2 new players, Visenya Bun, a longtime listener and fan of ours, and Skuro.
So,
Trash Panda TV.
Wow, why?
Who was spectacularly terrible.
Of course he is.
Spectacularly.
Quick question, are they going to be joining the campaign permanently?
They are, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We started with 4 people, and I can handle about up to 6, but I wanted to expand a little bit slowly. But we had 2 people who couldn't make it, so it was either cancel or bring them in right
now.
You know
what? I am kind of excited to see the walking disaster that is Skuro on camera in a part of a product. I think that's hilarious.
His character name is Guy.
He has amnesia. He didn't want to make a backstory. He didn't have time to make a backstory, so he knows.
So
he didn't
do something. Guy and
dumb.
Has amnesia.
That's dumb.
I don't know if it's dumb or lazy writing.
Well,
but
he's allowing me to go forward to basically fill in all of his backstory for him, so he'll just discover it as he goes.
So he just gave you more work.
It's fun, though.
So my weekend was filled with a lot of Fallout, played a lot of Fallout 3, a lot of Fallout 76, of course, and had a chance to actually sit down and watch the 2 Firefest documentaries came out. Okay, so we have to talk about this, even though it's not in any way, shape, or form related to video games. Have to talk about these 2 documentaries.
The reason for you wanting a weekend recap becomes
exactly
clear.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Because there's no other way to fit this conversation into the show. Anyway,
right.
But here's the thing, is that just to give everyone a little bit of context, if you don't know what Fyre Festival is, Fyre Festival was this this supposed festival that was going to happen down in the Bahamas, thrown by an app,
app developers
called Fyre, that you could book talent on.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like supposed to be the Uber of talent booking.
It's supposed to streamline the whole talent booking process.
And it actually
on its surface as an idea
was really smart.
Really good idea.
Really smart. Had a lot of really smart people working on that side of the business. But they decide to go and do this festival. Now, by the way, Ja Rule is involved with this business.
So
he's floating around
in
this whole thing.
Ja Rule is a part of this story.
And so you've got this. This tech guy who has a line into investors and into, you know, sort of the millennial tech world.
Mm-hmm.
Billy,
the startup world.
Yeah, Billy, what's his last name?
McFarlane.
Billy McFarlane, that's it.
What a name.
And basically, so this festival is supposed to go down in the Bahamas, VIP, supposed to be like the even more VIP version of Coachella.
Yeah, we talking about people were paying initially $10,000 a pop.
Yeah.
To just go. Okay. Now, that's like the GA access.
When you mentioned this being like the Uber of festivals or whatever, that makes
me think
Two different things.
The app, the festival was supposed to celebrate the launch of the app.
Right.
Okay.
And the app is what lets you book talent.
Book the talent.
So there are two different things, right? Yeah. So there were there were people involved with the app that never were involved with the festival.
Got it.
Right. Okay. So this festival was supposed to be just this crazy festival, and at the time that it was happening, I was writing for a radio station website. It was a hip hop radio station, mm-hmm. and I was covering this story a lot, and even like up to a few days out, there were signs that there were going to be problems with this festival, mm-hmm. and then people got there and it was a disaster. Like it was like nothing was set up.
So if
the
you
stage
guys remember,
wasn't even set up. It was bananas.
So if you guys remember back when around last year, there were people talking about this cheese sandwich. It was like a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
So part of the big issue is these people had no clue what the heck they were doing when putting together a festival.
Well,
they just had a whole, they started with a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And quickly blew it because.
On dumb stuff.
On really dumb stuff. But here was the problem is that when they saw the amount of energy they were getting on social media, they got really overconfident and overplanned this festival.
Now, by the way, attendees paid as much as like a few grand, like three grand.
That was just general.
For just general admission. Right?
Oh, my God.
So the way that it was sold is that this festival was supposed to be on Pablo Escobar's private island.
Okay. A lie. They moved
totally
islands.
A lie. Yeah. Different island. And so, okay. The whole thing goes down, and on social media, the whole thing unravels. They cancel the festival. No one actually even performs. Everyone goes home.
No. You cannot glean over.
Hang on. No, because we're going to get into it. Fast forward to this past weekend, and you've got Netflix set to drop this documentary about the Firefest that was done by Vice Media and
the guys who did the social media for the festival.
And Jerry Media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it was a co-production of Vice Media and Jerry Media. And they were publicizing that it was going to be dropping on Netflix this weekend. And here comes Hulu, like 5 days ahead of time,
right,
drops a competing documentary called Fire Fraud that actually sits down with Billy McFarlane himself. And by the way, one of the former members of Jerry Media, who Jerry Media is now basically saying this guy's misrepresenting.
Yeah. They
fired him over this, and then like is saying like his version of the story isn't true, and came out with a competing documentary.
now
about how much of a show this whole thing was
Billy the one that the Hulu documentary guys allegedly paid $250,000 to be in their documentary?
That could be.
That probably is him.
It probably is.
Yeah. Probably is.
What
him.
A mess.
Now hold up. Here's what you do not understand, right? That is literally the skeleton of all the stuff that happened.
Well, because I don't want to spoil all of it.
No. But at the same time, the reason why this happened.
Which order should we watch these in if we're going to watch both? By the way,
Netflix first.
Netflix first, Hulu.
Then Hulu. Yeah,
because all the Hulu was going to do, because it's not as entertaining.
Yeah.
Is
It's going to fill in
the gaps.
It's going to fill in the gaps. Yeah.
Interesting.
That going to fact check the other one.
Yeah. That basically Jerry Media just kind of like glanced over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But when you hear about how terrible this festival
was managed.
And you're talking about they ran out of money and these fools said, we got to figure out how to get more money. So they sent out an email to everybody who already bought tickets and said, we're cashless now. So you're going to have to upload money to this
load a wristband.
Load a wristband.
By the way, they had no infrastructure to be able to make those wristbands work. So they were just like, throw $3,000 into a hole, please. It was, holy God, what a nightmare this whole thing must have been.
They promised people a $180,000 package that included a private villa and a private car to drive you around the island.
I'm confused, so I apologize. But where did the cheese sandwiches come into play again?
Yeah.
Okay, so when
this whole thing is so bizarre.
So when festival goers get there, right? Like they don't. There's no private plane. There's no private drivers. Everyone who bought a ticket was basically promised this, and also social media influencers were promised this too. And so when they got to the island, they were loaded onto a
school bus,
and brought over to what looked like a tent city.
Yeah,
by the way,
the FEMA tent.
They were FEMA tents.
Oh my God!
That had mattresses set up inside them
that were soaked from the monsoon.
And by the way, it stormed the night before. Like they may have been able to pull it off. They may have been able to pull it off had it not ridiculously stormed the night before.
Maybe I don't. I guess
anyway. So to answer Robbie's question, all of this chaos is happening, right? At this point, Billy McFarland has essentially told everybody, every man for himself.
If you bought a villa, just grab a tent.
I'm not joking.
Oh. Now, this is only a third of the attendees of people who had tickets had arrived then.
A third.
Every tent was taken up. And only a third of the total people were there.
Now, there was promised gourmet sushi chefs, champagne, mimosas. They ordered $2.5 million worth of liquor for this festival.
They're gonna need it.
But that was there. That made it.
By the way, tents were not set up, but there were pallets of liquor.
Yeah. Now
priorities.
They were promised all these chefs. They got to where food was being distributed, and it was literally uncooked cheese sandwiches with wilted lettuce on the side.
Yeah, dude, it was like two pieces of bread, an American singles that was like thrown into the box.
A room temperature.
Yeah.
That's craft
disgusting.
And then lettuce that had been sitting out for 2 days, just like thrown in there. And another piece of bread.
Alice in Wonderland ASMR in our chat says it's the TanaCon of festivals. Oh, no. This is if you took TanaCon, right?
Yeah.
Which is another social media shit show. You take TanaCon, throw it in another country, and task that same group of in-out motherfuckers with actually getting those people to the festival as well.
Oh, my God,
this had to be like a social experiment or something.
No.
What happens when we take like $10,000 from people and don't give them what we asked?
No, this was a hustle of the highest order.
Yes.
Oh, Omega needs to know, where's John all this?
Where is John? We need his opinion.
Someone get John Rule on the phone.
John Rule on the phone.
Oh my God.
But
I died laughing when one of the documentaries uses that bit from Chappelle's stand up and it's perfect.
But John Rule fits in all this because he's essentially the face of this particular company.
And was guiding a lot of the really dumb decisions that were happening too.
Yeah.
By the way, that toast that they have is the cringiest thing
it is
ever. They had a toast and Billy did it and Ja Rule kept doing it a lot. And it was like, here's to partying like movie stars, living like movie stars, partying like rock stars, and
like porn stars. Ew!
Dude, this sounds
gross.
Like, sounds like the plot of Wayne's World 2 when Wayne has to put on the concert.
It was if you took Wall Street and just put really stupid people in all of those roles.
Yes, it's like if Gordon Gekko tried to throw a party. it's insane.
At least
you
that would have
to see
cocaine
it.
At it.
You have to watch it. The documentaries, because it's unlike anything that I've ever seen.
And here's the thing, because people, when this happened, asked how did people with all this money get swindled in such a strong way? It's because they marketed
it's the so
too
yeah
well
well and it's the social it was the social media mm-hmm. influencers that drove this and
dude they put the video I remember the video because
they
got to my networks. The video they produced for it to announce this is great.
Yeah.
It's
one of the best pieces of marketing that I could
have. Awesome.
Yeah, it really was well done. But here's the thing, and I kept thinking about this because the documentaries would make brief references to them and then go right back to the Firefest. But this is the most quintessentially millennial thing ever. Let me tell you why. Because festivals have been a damn shit show since the beginning of festivals.
Yeah.
Woodstock
is a failure.
While it was Woodstock, while it is remembered fondly, and I know that we're going to do the 2019 50-year anniversary of it, and I'm sure that's going to go off without a hitch. But
it's an infrastructural failure.
But the thing is that nobody talks about the multiple drug overdoses that happened at Woodstock. Nobody really talks about the thousands of cars that were left on the freeway because nobody really had a parking infrastructure that was ready to be able to handle that many fucking people. And it was just you remember that, like, and you go, oh yeah, there was definitely some craziness at Woodstock. And then you go, well wait, Woodstock 1999, okay, they burnt the site down. They burnt merchandise. Like 8 people got raped.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Now,
Woodstock 1999 was no joke. And I went back and I actually, because after my first viewing, I went back and I watched the footage of Woodstock 99 and Altamont, because Altamont was the other one where Hell's Angels
stabbed somebody,
stabbed someone, killed somebody, and beat the shit out of at least half the crowd. Right.
Okay. Great.
So when you stack up Fire Festival
to those
against Woodstock 1999 and Altamont, seems awfully tame. Awfully tame by comparison.
I would sleep in a tent that I had to put together myself on a soaked mattress if it meant that I wasn't being stabbed.
But here's the
easily.
Thing. Like they talked about, like, yeah, it had this very like Lord of the Flies mentality, except no one actually got hurt.
Except Piggy didn't get killed.
No one died.
As far as anyone is aware, no one was assaulted.
No one was assaulted. Yeah, like it seemed like, yeah, people were drunk, people were frustrated, and they wanted off the damn island. They were inconvenienced, but it was not the craziness of like a disaster festival.
The premises of all those things to happen, the criteria for all that type of stuff to happen was there. It was ripe for it.
If the $2.5 million worth of liquor hadn't shown up, there would have been a murder.
Probably.
Well, I think the most interesting part of the whole documentary is how the organizers had to get off of the island after the people who lived on the island figured out that they weren't getting paid. Yeah.
Oh.
That was that. I'll save that story. You can watch it. You should check it out.
It's dope.
I think it's Fire on
Netflix. It's
just Netflix,
Fire on Netflix.
On Netflix. And then Fire Fraud on Hulu.
Watch it in that order.
Yeah,
too.
And watch it. Yeah, Netflix first and then Hulu. I'll tell you, it's definitely something to watch. And by the way, also the most millennial thing in the world to make 2 documentaries about a situation where no one got injured or killed. And then I went to seek out documentaries about like Altamont and Woodstock 99. Doesn't exist. But listen, we want to hear from you. How was your weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_ XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll look ahead to February to see what new releases we can look forward to. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Are racing sim games getting just a little too realistic?
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from Sarah over at the News Desk. Plus, we'll take a look ahead to the next month in gaming. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Just how realistic are racing sim games getting? An F1 esports pro just beat a former F1 driver on a real track.
The human era is over.
With commentators rendered speechless, 23-year-old Enzo Bonito beat Lucas Degrassi on a track in Mexico. Degrassi is a Formula E and former F1 driver.
That is crazy.
Excellent.
Because, I mean, like, listen, I understand the skills that you can pick up from doing a driving sim or doing a driving game. Even the chairs that they have, incredibly realistic. There were a couple of chairs that we had tried out at E3 that were awesome. But the thing is that you don't necessarily understand the G-forces that your body's being put through.
Well, she did just say that he was, before doing the esports, he was a former Formula One.
No,
that's the guy he beat. This guy was trained on esports, and eventually, you know, he did a shift over, trained in a real car for a little bit, and then was able to go ahead and beat him.
All right. That's crazy.
That's a banana.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
Now, over the weekend, Norris and I had watched the Firefest documentaries, and one of the dudes in there, this reminds me of one of the dudes in there, who learned how to fly on Microsoft Flight Simulator. Now, how terrifying is that?
That's horrifying.
He's not dead, by the way.
Yeah, right. No, he still flies. He hasn't crashed his plane. Amazing to me.
Speaks to the realism and attention to detail in these sims.
Yeah, you know, it does, but at the same time, though, I don't know that I trust someone that was trained on Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's a little bit unnerving to me.
So just how profitable are free-to-play games? Well, they accounted for 80% of all gaming revenue in 2018. In fact, 9 out of top 10 highest-grossing games of 2018 were free-to-play. The only premium game, that is to say the game that has a purchase cost, was PUBG, which brought in about $1 billion.
Oh my God.
This is one of those things
where we keep telling people,
like, you know, who, you know, stand and die on the hill of,
they need to get rid of microtransactions.
Microtransactions need to be removed from gaming. Yeah, you can't do it.
This will
be no more gaming industry without them.
And that's exactly why. You look at the margins, and then you look at the overall pie that it's consuming. I mean, dude, any way you slice that, that is impressive. 80% of the total revenue generated in the video games industry. I'm sorry, it's something that we're going to have to deal with. Now, how we deal with it, the way that it's implemented, the way that it's presented, and preventing predatory practices, that should be at the forefront of all of our concerns, and most importantly, the ESRBs, but we know how they've set on their hands.
EA stocks took a hit recently as their outlook was downgraded from buy to hold. The primary reason given was their upcoming slate of non-sports games being largely unproven. EA has had a string of misses when it comes to their non-sports titles.
Have they?
Outside of Anthem, what else do they really have in the can that they're...
Well, they were supposed to have a Star Wars game.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Hey, they did us a favor there.
But now you've got also companies calling out and accusing EA of gross mismanagement of the Star Wars IP, which I think most people would agree with.
Well, that's fair, but I mean, like, are they citing the entire 10-year history of mismanagement? Because there has been a long history of mismanagement at EA's hands that they've done to the Star Wars series. So, yeah, that's not unfair at all.
A major security flaw was exposed in Fortnite late last year. By using an old Unreal Tournament 2004 website, hackers were able to eavesdrop on player comms and potentially get the ability to spend V-Bucks on their account. It remains unclear how many were affected or in what way, if any.
How?
How?
Yeah.
How does Epic still have their comms built on the backbone of Unreal 2004? So how does this work?
What it was by using an old Unreal website, you could log in on that, and then it would still have you as logged in when you switched over to Fortnite.
Oh.
It was a security flaw like that. It was actually found by a security firm. It wasn't actually detected by players first.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, well, that's fortunate, because, yeah, that would have been something really bad if it had gotten out there into the wild.
Now, the problem is we don't know if maybe it did.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because a lot of times if somebody finds exploits like that, they can tend to keep it hush-hush, mm-hmm. keep it to themselves. You know, the developer room in Fallout 76 is a great mm-hmm. example of that. That was like a small cadre of players that were taking and you know, duping those items and then selling them. The fortunate part of that is that the problem will then be localized, so it's easily eradicated.
Speaking further on Fallout 76, Fallout 76 players are facing bans for accessing a part of the game they weren't meant to. A secret dev room with every item available in the game, plenty of items not yet available in the game, and even a human NPC named Wooby was discovered, and how to access it has been making the rounds.
Yeah, you were just talking about
human
that.
NPC?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know I was spoiling the next story. I'm sorry about that. But yeah.
Well, clearly the game is unplayable now. There's a human NPC.
Yep.
What's the
this
point?
This is not what I paid for.
Well, and here's the thing, is that that's the reason that it made headlines, is because there's not a single human NPC in the entire game, but there's one in the dev room.
You know,
my second question is, and this is directed entirely at Bethesda, how is this something that you let fly on a live server? How? I understand that you needed third-party tools to access the room, and I understand that you can track every single person that's accessed the room, and that since then, they've taken action and banned anyone who accessed it or who had any of the duped materials out of there.
Right.
Because there was stuff from DLCs that haven't even been announced yet.
Ooh, you know what I'd like to see him do with this now is actually give you access to the dev room, but it's completely cleared out, and Wobie's dead corpse is still sitting in there.
Aww.
Maybe one day, as like an Easter egg.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is that, like, I do not understand how this gets even put on a live server. That's mind-blowing to me.
YouTube has made a move to ban dangerous stunts and pranks on their platform. Following issues like the Tide Pod Challenge and the Bird Box Challenge, YouTube has now banned such content from their platform. Users whose videos are removed over the next couple of months will be able to appeal.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to complain about that.
Good. No problem with this whatsoever.
Good. And Sarah, both you and I have had experience working with kids. Mm-hmm. Kids do this stuff. I hate when people say, oh, nobody actually tried. Yes, kids
no, they do.
Try that stuff.
They do.
All the time.
Yeah.
Actually, if anything, I'm even more worried about the prank videos that adults would do on their kids sometimes that mm-hmm. got them in trouble, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, like, when did we become an entire society of jackass?
I actually believe, Sarah, that is something that falls under there as well, is pranks that have done on kids that could potentially have, like, lasting repercussions.
Yes, that's also banned.
Oh,
also
good.
Banned. Mm-hmm. Good.
Last week saw the release of our first look at gameplay and story for Mortal Kombat 11. The franchise famous...
It's happening!
The franchise, famous for its gory battles, is officially back April 23rd. It'll feature its first female lead antagonist, and Ronda Rousey will provide the mocap and voice for the returning Sonya Blade.
I'm lit. I'm happy.
So excited.
I'm
excited.
For
this,
actually.
I am very excited about this. I love Ronda Rousey. I love what she's done in the WWE. Excited because she's got all of the nerd cred. Mm-hmm. Like, she's shown up to conventions. She's cosplayed before. So, like, she's got all of the nerd cred to be able to pull this off. I'm excited to check this out when it releases. That release party that they had the other night with all of the WWE stars, like Xavier Woods and Zelina Vega was there.
And her person she manages.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, that guy.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. People under the age of 35 are notoriously underrepresented in American politics. That's why when a politician enters the gaming space, it gets on our radar pretty quickly. Well, that's exactly what happened over the weekend as Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on Twitch.
That's right. She made a cameo appearance on a charity stream on Twitch over the weekend during a charity stream by H-Bomber Guy to raise money for Mermaids, which is a UK-based charity that supports gender diversity and transgender youth. The congresswoman made a call via voice call. It was awesome. Did you see any of this, by the way?
No, I actually didn't get a chance to watch the clip, but I did hear about it. Like, I was seeing the response to it on Twitter.
Everywhere.
As it was happening. It was awesome, though.
So they talked about a few things. I mean, obviously, she did talk about the government shutdown, but she also just took some time to sit and talk about the Nintendo 64 and her absolute love of that system, because he was streaming to benefit Mermaids, and they're playing Donkey Kong 64, which is, I mean, one of the all-time classics on the N64.
Sure.
And yeah, getting to see a congresswoman call in and talk on Twitch and kind of be on our space.
Guess what it's called? It's called Brilliant. All right. It's absolutely brilliant, because you talk about, you know, a subsection of the country that has been notoriously detached from politics, disenchanted with politics, doesn't want to involve themselves in the process. And this is how you engage them in a genuine level on, you know, in their space, not being afraid to go to them they go to you.
And it also really helps when she's tweeting things like "all your base are belong to us" and
Watchmen,
you know,
quotes.
And Watchmen quotes, exactly, quoting Alan Moore and talking about dusting off her League of Legends account, like,
because it doesn't feel fake.
It's not. It doesn't feel fake or calculated or like, oh yeah, this is like part of the image that I'm cultivating.
I absolutely believe she grew up playing Donkey Kong 64.
Absolutely, 110%.
Yeah.
So I'm excited by this. I think that this is really cool. And you're right, it is really validating to have someone who's involved with such mainstream politics come onto, you know, kind of our platform.
And we should get her on the show.
See, exactly. I feel a little
bit on it.
A little bit slighted. Anyway, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, with the end of January approaching, we'll preview the next month in gaming. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
It's time for the ultimate tournament we've all been waiting for.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll preview what's coming up in the world of gaming in February. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an eSports gaming update.
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dunk!
Oh, and another one! Oh, and a third! What is this?
eSports gaming update with Sarah Skopic.
Nintendo has announced the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate North American Open. The tournament is open to all entrants 13 years or older and will feature four regional online qualifiers. Winners of the qualifiers will be flown to PAX East in Boston to compete in the finals.
Well, this is interesting. It does seem, you know, like Nintendo was making a bigger commitment to their esports scene, to their Smash scene. Mm-hmm. This seems to be one of them.
This seems more like it's approaching like the more like casual, like not the hardcore FGC dedicated. This is like people who are like, hey, I really like playing Smash.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an interesting approach to go that way instead of kind of leaning into their existing, their kind of pre-existing infrastructure is built out of the FGC.
But with stuff like this, I mean, you pretty much solidify having a scene for years to come.
True.
I mean, Melee is an anomaly in the FGC and gaming, period. It does kind of have its own following, and it never really is ever going to die. There will be people who play Melee forever. I think this is a way for Nintendo to solidify that if this is indeed the last Smash Brothers, that we have a community built into it for years and years to come.
Because like, there's really not much of a prize for winning the event in Boston. It's like a team competition. Once you get there, it's got like a $500 value prize of some kind. But the prize is that you get flown to PAX East.
Right.
You get to experience that. They pay for the trip and everything. So
yeah,
that's really the prize.
But I mean, like, that's kind of like, isn't that intrinsic in most esports experiences, though? Because, I mean, I have a feeling that we're going to see some familiar names attached to whatever this end bracket ends up being.
Yeah.
And you know, to that end, I think that, you know, yeah, if you're competing in this at this point, you're competing in it for the visibility and because it's Nintendo officially stepping into the space. But shouldn't Nintendo have done their due diligence and offered something a little bit more appealing as a prize? Because just going out to PAX East seems really bad.
Or you just say amateurs only.
Yeah, you could do it that way. Amateurs make it an amateurs only.
If you're signed to a team, you can't compete.
But that's the weirdest way for Nintendo to go about this and to try to cultivate a community around this.
It's still Nintendo.
I understand that. It just seems like that's very counterintuitive.
Following their run to the finals last year, Fnatic partnered with Champions to create a line of merch celebrating their League of Legends squad. It included a commemorative hoodie, magazine, and, of course, branded tissues to wipe away the tears after the defeat. The merch sold out in 15 minutes.
I can't get over the tissues.
The tissues is hilarious.
The tissues make it seem like it's not real.
like you read the article and you're like, is this a joke?
No.
This could be a really good joke. If it's not, it's like very, very self-aware and very funny.
Self-deprecation is always funny. So,
but 15 minutes and that merch sold out? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Esports organization Panda Global has launched a Kickstarter for a new piece of equipment that'll be interesting to Smash fans. It's a portable GameCube adapter that doubles as a charging dock for the Switch, finally allowing for GameCube controllers to be used while the Switch is in handheld mode.
Here's the thing. I want to warn people before they get too excited about this, because we've heard about third-party Nintendo Switch docks, not just scratching systems,
bricking
systems.
Ooh.
So you got to be really, really careful.
You're taking your gaming life into your own hands.
Yeah, my hope is that it wouldn't do that. I think that it's really smart. I wish that Nintendo was that smart to just make that an officially licensed product so that you can be assured that it's not going to break your system. But be very, very, very careful when it comes to third-party docks for your Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone excited for the new European LEC region for League of Legends was met with a rough start. Minor bugs and glitches plagued the opening weekend broadcast, causing significant delays on both Friday and Saturday. The first game of the split even had to be remade.
What happened, Joe?
It was rough. I mean, the first couple days, basically, what we're seeing is it's all new tech. We know they just recently signed a partnership with Alienware to completely resupply their tech. We know the studio has been completely remodeled and the infrastructure has been updated. We saw a lot of, like, because very few of it was, like, game-breaking issues. It was just delays and glitches and
technical
whatnot.
Technical hiccup.
Except in the first game. The very first game of the season actually had to be remade at, like, the 27-minute mark or so.
It was SK against
and Fnatic.
And the thing is that SK was dominating that first match.
They were.
And when the game had to be reset, you know, you always, you know, run that risk of, dang, is our momentum gone now?
Right. Wait. Couldn't they have used that chrono lock tool or whatever they had?
The problem was literally
chrono break.
Chrono break. There you go. Latency was actually causing issues in the team fights. And at first, Fnatic complained about it and said, like, we're having latency problems in these team fights. The judges went, looked at it, said, we don't see anything like that. A few minutes later, they went and said, again, we just did a team fight. We're having latency problems. Judges looked again, they went, actually, you're right. No, there are latency issues.
Yeah.
We're remaking the match. We're starting it from scratch. Fnatic comes out way stronger in the remade match, but SK manages to pull out the win. To avoid what would have been a mess of bad press, we're kind of happy that SK actually pulled out the win.
Wow.
The Pokemon Company is getting directly involved in the esports scene surrounding their fighting game Pokken Tournament. They've announced the Pokken Tournament Championship Series in 2019. Four international qualifiers will be held this year, and the top players will be invited to compete in the finals in Washington, D.C. The prize pool will be worth over $20,000.
Now, okay, first of all, I mean, that seems like a more appropriate prize pool.
Yeah.
I think Pokken Tournament is a really interesting game to have, you know, competitive legitimate competitive tournaments around. Does not surprise me coming out of the Pokemon company. Again, this is one of the original esports, like one of the first esports. So it doesn't
esports companies,
right? Like to hold officially sanctioned tournaments with the company that's directly involved with developing the game, involved with also managing the tournaments. That was one of the first to ever do it. So it doesn't surprise me that the Pokemon company is forward thinking and isn't getting and is getting involved here.
Epic Games is responding to the controversy that surrounded the introduction of the Infinity Blade during the Fortnite Winter Royale. Epic has recognized that introducing gameplay changes during a tournament isn't sustainable and has announced that they won't do so in the future. They've said there will now be an adjustment window of at least 3 days to a week between a gameplay change and a major competition.
Here's the thing about this
joke.
What everyone was complaining about was that, wait, you know, you guys are using these tournaments to basically as marketing for your big changes, and it was annoying to everyone. 3 days to a week isn't enough. If you said a week to 2 weeks, I'm fine with that. I will live with that, but 3 days would be ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, a very cheap marketing ploy. They shouldn't do that. Pros shouldn't have to readjust that soon before a competition.
Much less mid-competition.
Listen, yeah, mid-competition. That's insane.
This esports scene is becoming more of a joke every day.
Absolutely.
And I really, in it's the most popular game on the planet right now, and you would think Epic, awash with all of its billions, could figure this out, but they just seem committed to basically not
raking in that money.
To not paying any attention to this scene. And maybe they just say, hey, we've made our money, it's whatever, but this is the type of stuff that kills your future scene of your game.
Yeah, I agree.
It seems it's been a long time since we've talked about someone winning a CSGO tournament that wasn't Astralis, but that's exactly what happened over the weekend as Team Liquid met Astralis in the finals. After Astralis crushed Liquid on the first map, Team Liquid powered back to take maps 2 and 3, as well as the first place finish.
Yeah. Now can Team Liquid pull off the Grand Slam?
I don't know. I'm going to go with probably not.
I'd like to see it, though.
I would like to see it, but I'm just happy to see Astralis not win. That feels kind of good.
Well, it kind of goes to show that, you know, our whole concern of, well, is anyone else in the CSGO, scene even worth the salt?
Clearly someone is.
Yeah, well, at least, you've got
At least one team.
Yeah, Team Liquid's there investing in some talent, so that's good.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thank you, Sarah, for the update. We're all gearing up for Season 2 of Overwatch League, but for one team, a pretty major shakeup could be on the horizon.
Yeah, according to a report out of ESPN, actually, Texas Esports is looking to sell its majority stake in Infinite Esports Entertainment, and that's a problem because they're the owners of both Optic Gaming and the Houston Outlaws.
Ooh. Wow.
They'll be looking to sell the stake for $150 million, and the search for a buyer is expected to begin in February.
Now, did they cite any reasons specifically why they... I mean, because Texas Esports, you would think this is a bespoke esports organization. Why are they looking to dump Optic and the Outlaws?
There's a lot going on about this because, Texas Esports dropped Optic's well-loved Halo team, like legendarily good Halo team. They just dropped that. The Call of Duty team has openly said the company isn't the best when it comes to managing esports, actually. So there's a lot of kind of internal strife, and that's what I think is leading to this.
I mean, we did see that unfortunate incident out of Optic India, and Optic India having to be dissolved. While that is only one small part of the organization, that may be some kind of indication of a larger problem inside of the organization as a whole.
Optic is also one of the few organizations who bought into both NALCS and the Overwatch League. That's a lot of upfront cash.
That's true.
Clearly an organization that's been having issues with finances.
Whoever is going to get this purchase is going to get both an NALCS and OWL team. Wow. That's a heck of an investment, first of all.
It is, and at the same time, though, there does look to be a lot of people that might come in and fill that space.
Yeah.
There looks to be a lot of people who want to step in to the esports space. Maybe this is a good foothold for them.
Buy them and move them to Detroit.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
That would be awesome. But listen, we want to hear from you. Should this be concerning to Overwatch fans, or is this just the natural growing pains of any new league? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. But ahead next, January's drawing to a close, which means that it's time for us to look ahead to February and see what's ahead next month in gaming. Stick around. That's going to be ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. As each month draws to a close, we here at Checkpoint XP like to take a look ahead and preview what's coming out next month. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of the upcoming releases in February.
So we need to start with the preface this, that February and January are kind of the
notorious
kind of the slow period.
The doldrums.
They're a little
releases.
Lean.
As esports starts to pick up, video games start to drop off. So.
Yeah, yep. Well, it doesn't help that we got two big ones like right at the end of January as well.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, coming hot off the heels of Resident Evil 2 Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3, we're going to start off February 1st. We've got Ace Combat 7: Skies Unknown dropped for PC.
The thing about Ace Combat, I have seen really great reaction to this game.
I have seen surprisingly nothing but positive things about Ace Combat.
Yeah,
7.
Let me say something. The last Ace Combat game I played was like Ace Combat like 3 maybe
Ace,
for the N64.
Ace Combat Shattered Skies for the PS2.
What's the one on the NES where you were? It's like impossible to land.
That's Top Gun.
That's Top Gun.
That's Top Gun.
That was the last like fighter game that I played.
Do something.
Here's the thing. This has a very good VR mode. Apparently,
That's what I hear.
I've seen pictures of people who have like taken old helmet like Air Force helmets and converted them to
like modded them into
their VR? Modded them into the VR thing. It's kind of like crazy the lengths that people have gone to make this hyper realistic. And I have to say I'm very impressed. It kind of makes me want to get a VR headset.
Like, a little bit. It's exactly the sort of game you want to play in VR.
Yeah, like it's honestly, this is the first piece of software. This is the first game that's made me go, oh, maybe I am missing out on not owning a VR headset.
Maybe I should at least have it.
VR is made for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
February 8th, we're going to look at God Eater 3. That's coming out. That's Bandai Namco, I believe.
Yeah. I actually played a little bit of God Eater.
At E3?
No.
Oh.
God Eater 2.
Oh, okay.
I think that came out for the PS Vita.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Monster Hunter-ish sort of game. It's very anime.
Okay.
First of all, if you like anime, you're probably gonna like it.
Right.
But it's like Monster Hunter if instead of doing ridiculous swords, they did ridiculous fist-based weapons.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of it. I uninstalled it fairly quickly, but it was one of those that I got for free from PlayStation Plus.
Sure.
Yeah.
February 15th, we're going to start off. We got four games coming on February 15th.
Wow.
Crackdown 3 is
Crackdown
first.
3, finally.
For all the talk about it, it's finally here.
I know, right? Like, I've seen so many goofy Terry Crews commercials about this game.
I still don't care.
And that's the thing. I love Terry Crews, but I can't bring myself to care about Crackdown at all.
We've also got Far Cry New Dawn.
Oh, it's that soon?
It's kind of,
It's just an add-on, bro. It's not a whole new game.
Yeah, it's not a whole new, it's like,
that's
sure?
That we did still just hear about it. Like,
yeah.
It feels like, it was Game Awards, right? We heard about it?
Yeah.
I think it's DLC, but it might be one of those weird
expansion level DLC.
Expansion pack.
The Witcher had a few of them, right?
Well, but I think it's one of those where, like, you don't have to own the base game to be able to play it.
It's a big enough, quote-unquote, expansion to where it can justify itself as being a standalone. Sort of like how Freedomcraft for Assassin's Creed 4 was.
Or Dragon Blood for the... Or what was that? It was like that crazy 80s... theme. Oh,
Blood Dragon.
Yeah, that was it.
Dragon Blood, Blood Dragon. Whatever, same difference.
Rock the Dragon.
Yeah. Something Charlie Sheen said.
That might not be too bad. Nice. Looking it up, it is retailing at like $39.99 for PS4.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Okay. Yeah.
We also have same day Jump Force.
What the hell is this?
Jump Force is the Smash Jump. Brothers anime.
Oh,
yeah, the
anime
Smash Bros.
This pile of junk.
So I played it at E3, and here's the thing. People who love, you know, like Ultimate Ninja Storm and stuff like that when it was out, like, they'll like Jump Force. The weebs will go crazy.
But they use, it's the battle system from Naruto, isn't it?
Yeah, from Ultimate Ninja Storm.
Boo.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that battle system well liked?
Yeah, that's what I said. The people who love that system love that system. It's not competitive.
That's fair.
At all.
We ain't going to see this at Evo 2019.
If we do, it's a sideshow.
Well, here you go, Nate. That same day, we also have Metro Exodus.
Yeah.
So we know what Nate's doing.
I'm legitimately excited for Metro Exodus. I'm about...
Can this pull you away from Fallout?
If anything's going to this well.
Well, and what's nice about Fallout 2 is if you get pulled away from it, you're not really losing any progress. You know, there's not stuff that's going on that, like, you're not just suddenly... You know,
like you're behind.
Exactly, right. Yeah. I haven't been playing it for a few weeks. I'm not behind in anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. We're currently taking a look at the releases that are due out in February. I got to say, I'm hugely excited for Metro Exodus.
Absolutely.
Have been since I tested it out at E3. So what else do we have in February?
Moving along to February 22nd.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing comes out that day.
Really? You don't think anything comes out February 22nd?
Well, it nothing will be a box it. Of nothing.
What about Anthem?
That's a out. Box of nothing.
Yeah.
We'll see, man. Which one of us is like going to be the guinea pig to actually try that?
I kind of liked it when we could just say, hey, this isn't our job, so I'm not going to play that. Now we're kind of like, oh, wait, this is our job.
One of us is going to have to volunteer as tribute.
I've been talking to most Yang, so I probably will have to be the person that plays it.
And I'm not saying that I wouldn't.
Okay,
I'm good with that.
I'm with Norris there. I'm not saying that I won't play this, but it has a pretty big hill to climb to get me.
That's all. If it's good, I'll eat crow. And that's why I've prefaced everything I've said about this game. They've not shown me anything spectacular.
Yeah.
Fair enough. February 26th, we're going to have four more games releasing. We've got Anno 1888, or 1880 rather, on the PC.
That's Anno. That's Italian for year.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
I don't care. We also have Dirt Rally 2.0 for PS4 and Xbox.
Hard pass.
I don't think I'm going to play that one. How about Trials Rising for PS4?
What is this?
Is that a lawyer sim?
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, it's the new Ace Attorney.
No, I think that's the one where you're like on the bike and if you go through like these crazy like courses, all the balancing and stuff.
Paperboy 2019.
No, more like Excitebike.
Oh, I'd rather Paperboy. We also have Nier Automata, a Game of the Yura edition.
It's just the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, pretty much. And lastly,
Was that a typo? Is this a typo on our
outline?
No, that's
what it's called.
That's what it's called.
Game of the Yura edition.
Game of the Yura edition.
Yeah.
I hate you, Square Enix. Square Enix, please. I genuinely hate you for that. Game of the Yura
edition.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's rough. February 28th is also going to bring us Left Alive, another title from Square Enix. I just saw the trailer for this.
Left Alive.
It looks like...
What
like
is this?
Front Mission? It's like a spiritual successor to Front Mission is what it looks like to me. It's a tactical shooter where like you plan your route through the base that you're infiltrating. The combat looks kind of like a hybrid of like maybe less interesting Mass Effect and... Metal Gear? I don't know.
This is the game where the art director for Metal Gear
is on it.
Yeah, the continuation of Front Mission.
So does it have like a whole bunch of mechs and stuff in it?
It does have mechs that you can steal and take and use those. Like,
interesting.
You know, at first...
But you don't like Square Enix. You can't play this.
No, I definitely don't want to play it, but I kind of want to watch the dumpster fire that it's going to become. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Which titles are you most looking forward to coming out in February? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint. Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we'll ask our social media followers what game they've bought multiple times. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.